The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. Good morning. So here's the thing is I don't even know how to deal with it. I think it's very mature of me to accept that what he's saying is accurate.
Howard, if I have to say, we won't mention his, you know, Dr. Anton Marburg's name.
We won't say it,
but I think he could be right because, and I'm sorry to say this, but you are a mingler and I mean, Howard, are you going to be able to keep to yourself and not talk to too many people on, you know, when there are people around? It just goes against your grain.
You're mad.
And you haven't seen half of them for the longest time.
Are you mad? Of course I'm not. Of course. And you know, I started to be so offended when he was telling me this because I thought was the appropriate response. And then I thought, but hold on, he's not wrong.
And if you tell Howard Feldman not to sing, do you think he's not going to be wanting to,
exactly,
you know?
It is. It's true.
You know, I mean, it's like.
Yeah, David, you're good at this. You should go into psychology.
I'll think about it.
Karen M says he's trying not to refer to your baldness. Yes, because balding, you know, it is a comorbidity. But you know what? I mean, there are people that are as bald as I am, and I bet you they'll be in shul. So that's the other thing. You know what? If I was told it was for either being overweight or bald, and I went to shul and I saw people, you know, more overweight and more bald, I'd be offended. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me it's around the mingling, it kind of resonates.
No, I believe him and I support it.
I think the whole community supports it. Because as I say, I've got the potential of being a super spreader.
How many times in your life have people come up to you and said, Howard, you're very quiet. What's your opinion?
Oh my God.
Now, there's a phrase I've never heard.
I was going to say. So,
why are you so quiet? Share your thoughts. A penny for your thoughts.
What? Please, what's on your mind?
There's a phrase I've never heard in my life. No one's offered me a penny for my thoughts. All right, David, you make a very, very good point. Either way, okay. So that is that. I want to shift it, unfortunately. In fact, no, I'm going to keep this for the end because we are talking about this issue. It is difficult. Now, in my particular case, I live with a family, with my family. I'm not alone. Even if the family goes to shul, which they will be doing and I don't, that just is a couple of hours of me being alone and using that time. I actually wrote an article in the Jewish Report about tips how to prepare for it if you are going to be praying at home. And in many ways, I'm quite excited about that because if I do the preparation correctly, it can be a very positive experience. But for many people living alone, it doesn't end there. The high holidays, Jewish festivals or festivals, Jewish or not, when there's this past expectation and past experience of sharing it with people and now being alone is very, very difficult. Help us through that.
No, absolutely. It is difficult. And I think under the circumstances, you know, many people have been alone for a long period of time. But I think there's a couple of things. I think, you know, it's important and keeping in mind that people have been alone for a long period of time. I think it's important to really be very mindful about being, you know, the difference between being alone and loneliness. And I think for me, obviously loneliness is when we're isolated, but you know, when we want to have social connection, but being alone is actually taking time for yourself, and, you know, choosing to. And again, I think that's maybe when it's, you know, more difficult now because we're not completely in control of it. We have to isolate, you know, because of health reasons. But maybe what we could think about, certainly over Rosh Hashanah, is if we are going to be alone, to try think about it rather be alone in loneliness. And what I'm saying by that
I love that shift from being alone to loneliness, from loneliness, instead of being lonely, being alone.
Yes.
Two different things.
And absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm certainly not a medical doctor, but I do think, you know, it's that the likelihood of us spending a year like this or a Rosh Hashanah like this completely isolated or to a degree isolated is very small. And I think, It's an opportunity. You know, it's so interesting that on Rosh Hashanah, this is a time we need to reflect and we need to think about, you know, how we're going to plan our year. What are we going to change? What are we going to, you know, what do we want to do in our future? And I think it's so hard these days in our modern world to, you know, we feel uncomfortable with being alone. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you say, I'm going to a movie on my own, and people go, shame. Haven't you got anyone to go with? Or you say, no, I'm actually staying home tonight. You go like, oh, but why, you know, like on my own, why would you do that? There's a negative connotation with being alone. And I completely understand, you know, and especially with, you know, Facebook and Instagram, we, you know, and all those kind of, you know, all the technology we have, which makes it difficult to be alone. So I think for me, of course, we need to acknowledge that this has been a very difficult year and there has been a lot of loneliness. But I do think for me, if we can think about Rosh Hashanah, especially because it's a time of reflection, especially because it's the time to really go inward as a time rather of being alone and to use it as a time to be mindful and to reflect on what we want to do moving forward. Because as I say, I think the chances of this ever happening again is very small, So yeah. It is an opportunity.
And actually just developing that a little bit further, the reality is that we go to shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and of course we like to be part of a minyan, a lot of be part of a community, and we like the singing, etc. But actually, it is time that we are meant to spend in our own, in reflection. And it is time that we are meant to look inward, at our own behavior, our own values, our own, achievements, etc. So it actually is really designed for that. And
it is.
You know, the prayers, if you go through the English in the prayer book, in the Machzor, in the Siddur, art scrolls, for example, have incredible, explanations, and just spend time reading that. And I suspect that if you are alone and you do spend the time doing that, it will be one of the more meaningful experiences that people will have had.
There's no question. It's an incredible opportunity. You know, you really, when you're alone, you have opportunity to really think clearly, you know, to think about the direction, to plan the future, to plan the year. And that's really, and I think to a degree, obviously we do that on Rosh Hashanah, but this is a real opportunity to be so mindful, because when we're by ourselves, you know, I think it really does create a different situation completely. And it's a very, you know, I think for me, for a lot of us, it's hard to be by ourselves and to actually be, you know, have our own company, but it's really so good for our self-esteem and confidence, you know, because we learn that I'm enough, you know, I can, of course we're not saying you need to be isolated and should be isolated, you know, for lengthy periods of time, but it's so important for psychological wellness and, you know, emotional well-being to actually be okay and learn to be okay, you know, with yourself, because again, you know, when you're with other people, you want to make sure that you do want to make sure that you feel okay being yourself. And how do you do that when you know, and a good place to start is when you're on your own and have got time to reflect and actually not feel uncomfortable with you and being with you. So I think again, I'm going to stress that of course this has been an exceptional year and there've been a lot of people who have been lonely. But I think especially over Rosh Hashanah, I think if we can, you know, we can think about using this being alone as a real opportunity for reflection.
Yeah, and to some extent it's, you know, maybe it's a bit of an excuse to, because it really is a once in a lifetime opportunity that we have every other year, you know, and even for people that in fact that are going to shul, you're only allowed to be there for 2 hours. Now that is hardly what we are used to. So there needs to be a shift around that as well. I've heard some, in fact, my second article in the Jewish Report is around that, is, is this week, because I feel there's so much complaining. Well, you know, we have to wear masks and only we're not allowed to sing and it's only 2 hours and, you know, it's really going to be miserable. And I listen to people complaining and I think, are you out of your mind? When we had Pesach, Passover, we weren't allowed to be in shul at all. So now, now that we're allowed certain things, everybody's complaining. And I referred to the story of when we left Egypt and we had seen all of these plagues and the sea splitting and we escaped death through one miracle after the other. And then we complain about the quality of the manna because that fell from heaven each day because we were bored of it. And we remember we're back in Egypt where we had all this great food. Are we mad? What is wrong with us, David? Why do we do this?
Well, I think we spoke about this last week, and it's so, I mean, you've put a smile on my face because, you know, we talk about that negative bias. You know, in years gone by, I mean, I know that one of the top, you know, hot topics of conversation is, what time did you end? You know, what time did your server, you know, like, my God, was it so, it was 2 o'clock or was it 1:30? We were starving by then. It was just crazy. And now,
and the speech, you know, the speech, yes.
And and the quiet, you know, very nice, but didn't, you know, went on forever. You know, or the, you know, the air conditioning wasn't on during Yom Tov. So there's always, you know, we always, again, we spoke about this last week that we are, you know, negatively inclined. We have this negative bias. And again, we shouldn't be hard on ourselves. It's about this whole idea of survival. And, you know, as we were saying last week, this, you know, that our brains haven't evolved as much. So we have to work really, really hard on being positive. And of course, again, I need to also say, you know, it's not healthy to just always be positive. You can't always be positive. You know, that's not human. That's not being human. But I think what's so important is to realize exactly that. And I think that's why I've got to smile on my face hard because, you know, last year we're going to complain, we complain how long shul will go on for, and this year we'll complain that there's not enough shul. So I think for me it really is about, certainly acknowledging the difficulties in each situation, but very, very importantly, and I think for me, you know, not in an artificial way where we look for complete happiness. No, we see that there's negative, we see that there's difficulties, but look for the positive. And this year, when on Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis tell us to reflect and to really look inward. Wow. What a better year to do it.
And of course the other thing is maybe just to make sure that you are fully prepared, that you have the right things at home to be able to read. And the other thing as well is to just make sure that you know, during this time of prayer and introspection, whether you're religious or not, obviously if you're Shabbat observant, if you are Orthodox, you will have put away your technology. But even if you aren't, use that time, put away your cell phone, put away everything, and and don't allow it to be the distraction that it could be.
Right. Absolutely. I think your point's so important that I think, you know, next Friday gives us time to plan, as you say, to gather literature. You know, you could walk, you know, you could get something off the internet or hopefully get a fantastic book that resonates for you around Yiddishkeit or about self-growth. And the other thing I think, which is also important, is that if you are worrying about being lonely, then again, obviously with medical advice, we have to speak to the doctors about it and just to make sure that it's okay, that you can organize, you know, like in the afternoon to meet a friend for a walk or to interact, obviously at a social distance. But if you are worrying about complete isolation over that period, to organize an interaction. And also, I think for me, I think a wonderful thing that people can do, if you do know, and I'm thinking more of elderly people who are more susceptible to just, you know, because of comorbidities, is to actually, you know, reach out to them. You know, if there is someone around in, you know, within walking distance, and to actually make a time to just stand over the fence at a distance and to say, hello, how are you doing? And that could be an amazing mitzvah that someone could do this Rosh Hashanah.
Absolutely right. David Abramson, just before I let you go, today is Suicide Awareness Day, and of course there is this terrible video that has done the round. Schools are dealing with it because unfortunately kids have seen this suicide on TikTok. Give us your perspective.
No, absolutely. That was absolutely traumatic. I mean, you know, the fact that that was circulating around the world literally was it traumatized so many young people. But I think for me, what's so important is that it's highlighted, the scourge of suicide and how people, ages, but also, obviously teenagers are really, experiencing a lot of difficulty. And I think for me, this year, certainly in the past, there's been difficulty, but this year has brought its own challenges. And I think what's so, so important is, is not to be paranoid about it, but just to keep an eye on the people around you. And for the people, and to watch for those things like, change of, change of behavior, withdrawing, the eating, their sleeping habits, changing, obvious things that that they're just not acting the same way, talking, giving away their stuff, talking about, life's not worth living. It's important to be aware and to look out for these things, and to just stay in touch with these people. And then also to, for people who are feeling suicidal, for people who do start having these thoughts, it's so important that they know that they're not alone. And there are amazing resources out there. And I just want to quickly tell a story, if I may, Howard. Have I got time?
Yeah, we'll make time. For you, David, there's time.
I learned so much from my clients, and this is what I want to say in regards to suicide, that a couple of years ago, I saw a child who had lost both his parents, and I don't want to obviously give too much detail. And, really, the thought of actually helping this child was completely overwhelming. And in the session that we first had, I hardly said anything and I felt very insecure about not being able to help the child. And the child came back the following week and said, thank you. I felt something shifted, something changed. And I think for me, that was so powerful because I hadn't given him any advice. I just listened. And for me, that taught me a very, very important lesson that when you are feeling and you are in the most unbelievably traumatic situations where you actually feel completely overwhelmed, going to talk to someone shouldn't be underestimated. It's so, so powerful. So I would say to people, please don't underestimate the power, of reaching out. And we have some, obviously the Chai FM helpline, which is manned or womaned. And I think please reach out. Please don't underestimate, how much it can help.
Ivana asking, any ideas for youngish kids on Rosh Hashanah? Ivana, that is a great idea as a talk topic. Certainly I will look into that and we'll chat to David about that as well. But I think a very, very good idea and a very important idea considering a lot of young kids. In fact, young kids most definitely are not allowed to go with to shul. So I think that is very important. And San says, Rabbi Feldman preaching Rosh Hashanah observance. Love it. I don't know if that's being sarcastic. I don't know. Is that sarcastic, David? I feel like it could be, but I'm okay with it. David Abramson, thank you as always.